Opportunity knocks seemingly once. Temptation bangs on my front door forever. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Opportunity knocks seemingly once. Temptation bangs on my front door forever. I said, Sylvia, that second part really fits to you, doesn't it? Temptation banging on your front door forever, saying, Sylvia, come out and play. Sylvia, come out and do this. Sylvia, come do that. Sylvia. And Sylvia just says, I hear opportunity knocking once, and I follow it. When I hear a banging on my door, I pay no attention. I say, go away, the bridegroom is asleep. And people say, Sylvia, are you married? And Sylvia says, well, no. And, well, what are you doing there? Well, I'm one of the bridesmaids, or what do they call it? The girls with the lamps, you know. Yeah. And, well, Sylvia, interesting, huh? Opportunity knocks seemingly once. And why is it that it's seemingly only once that opportunity knocks? Well, that's because all of the good things in life are with us always. And it's like saying, hello world, I'm a man. And the world says, well, bully for you. You know, isn't that wonderful? You know, it's rather obvious that you're a man, you know, and rather obvious. And so, you see, every once in a while, opportunity knocks and says, Herb, you're a man. And I say, well, so what? And opportunity says, well, if you don't get the message, then I guess you're not ready to be a man. So, you see, circumstances come in our life where we can stand up for principle, where we can stand up for being a man, stand up for being a master of our life and in charge of our world. And we say, oh, but I know that. I know I'm a man. I know I'm a woman. I know I'm in charge of my world, you know, whatever it may be. But you see, opportunity says, hey, to be in charge and to know you're in charge and to know all these good things is a good thing, but then act upon it. Act upon it. I merely announce my presence. I merely announce my reality in your life. Now you act upon it. Now, how are you going to act upon being a man? Well, you're going to act upon being a man as being content and being at peace and being in love with yourself. Now, Ellen is having a fisticuff operation over here. She's putting her little love under his blanket and saying, now, love, you settle down. Now, Rex, you settle down. And then, you see, Ellen said one word. She says, sit. And Rex sat.
Down.
Just like that.
Down.
And then she says, down. And Rex lays down on the floor at her feet, totally content. But no, Ellen has to fight it. Ellen has to grab his collar and pull him here and pull him there and pull him there. All she has to do is say to him, I am
the
woman.
Master.
I am the master. Rex, sit. Rex, down. Good boy. And Rex will do what she says. But when she goes around yanking and yanking and saying, he's pulling me and he's doing this and he's doing that and I can't control him. Well, of course you can't control him because you can't control yourself. First, you got to say, I am the master. I'm in charge here. And then you say, Rex, sit. And Rex says, ooh, she's serious. She means business. She is the master, you see. And that's what it is when opportunity knocks on our door. It comes and it says, hey, I'm giving you this apparent challenge. But it's not really a challenge. It's just, Ellen, are you a woman or are you not a woman? Are you the master or are you not the master? Ellen, are you going to let these dogs push you around like this because they're just having a ball? Or are you going to say, peace, boys, sit? I mean, here she is running everything here at the university, telling everybody where to go, what to do, and how to do it, handling three handymen coming at different days because we try to get a full day's work out of all of them, and then they're not all here long enough to get the full day's work in each. So she adds it together, and she gets everything done, and she has the operation of the campus running just like a Swiss watch, you know, perfectly. Hey, don't laugh. My goodness sake.
Good. Say, yeah, uh-huh. Down for uh-huh. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, remember that.
Now,
and you see, when we take charge of the opportunity that comes to us, instead of saying, oh, my goodness sakes, how could I ever begin to handle that, you know? And all you do is say, poof. I remember the day when Stefan became the president of the University of Healing. And Ellen had been the president. And Ellen had done the bookkeeping. And Ellen had done all of the goodies that Stefan was going to do. And Ellen did them poof, just like a piffle, you know. And her work was always in order and always done perfectly and always done wonderfully. Well, the minute that Stefan took over, Ellen says, now what do I do? now what things am I going to do? And so she had to rethink her whole program. And in the process of rethinking her program, she became relaxed and she became very peaceful with herself. And at times she'd forget that she was a woman and she'd forget that she was a boss. And she'd forget that just because Stefan was the president, she had a different title. Now, what was her title? CEO, Chief Executive Officer over everything, remember? Or the chairman of the board, mm-hmm. And she was over everything. And she was over everything. And so then she had to learn how to speak to someone like Stefan and say what had to be done without discouraging him. Because Stefan has been there, done that. He worked in banks and he did this and he knew all these things and he knew them how to do them perfectly well. And so she had to know that she was still the master. She still told people when to sit and when to stand up and when to lie down and when to do things they were supposed to do. But you see, sometimes things happen to us and we lose our authority. And whenever the dog doesn't behave, Ellen thinks she's lost her authority. And because she thinks she's lost it, she has. Now, what is one of the most important things with opportunity?
To take it.
Is to take it and be persistent in knowing that it is done. And so, when she says, Rex, sit down, stay, good boy. You see, you don't have to become bad. You just say definite what you want, and he's very cooperative. And everybody is very cooperative, Ellen. You just say, Sylvia, sit down, stay. Ingeborg, sit down, stay, you know. And the other puppies, you say the same thing. But you see, the other puppies, you say that to all of us. And you say, Herb, sit down, stay. And I say, oh, I wonder what's coming now. But you see, when temptation knocks and bangs away at our door, and that's when the puppies don't behave, you know. That's when your world doesn't cooperate. You get all frustrated. And you say, why me, oh Lord, why me? Well, it's not a matter of why you. It's you bought the book. You bought the book of temptation. You opened the door for temptation. You opened the door for the dogs not behaving. You opened the door for things not working. You opened the door for foolishness. And right away, Ellen is such a strange lady, not too, really too strange, but she's a strange lady. Everybody we have coming working for us, she falls in love with him. She thinks, oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he doing a good job? Isn't he fantastic? Isn't he joyous? And sometimes she overburdens their circuits, and they're not really that good. Now, they're good, but the thing is, they're not that good. Like, we hired a young man to work on our well, and we didn't hire him, we hired his dad's firm, and daddy was away, so they sent the kid, and he's a good boy, And he did his best, but he didn't have the experience to know if something happened, it was because something else wasn't perfect. And the first thing he said, which made him an anathema to us, was, "You did something wrong. You did this wrong. You did that wrong." Now, it's not that he was right or wrong, but you don't say that. You just say, "Let's see what the problem is and fix it." But you did this wrong. You made the wrong connection down there. You put the wrong wires in. You put the wrong plugs in. You had the wrong rheostats and the wrong different gadgets that go in there. And when he starts saying that, unconsciously, our dander went up. And then we were opposed to him, even though he was a good boy. Even though he was doing a good job, he immediately had us put him on our bad list. And so no matter how he tried to rectify himself, no matter how he tried to explain himself, he just made one blunder after another, which caused the whole system not to work. And so then our handyman, who was opportunity knocking all the time, and we should have just believed in him, our handyman said, "Well, I think this, and I think that, and I think the other thing." And so then our handyman called Mr. Knowledgeable on wells, Al the Wellman. And Al has always been a very source of competent information for us, as well as help. And when we finally got through to Al, because he's quite busy, we asked him some simple questions, and he said, "This is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is how you do it, da 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 da, and everything you've done is right, except that you want to make this adjustment here." And so our handyman said, "I understand that." And he went down and made the adjustment, and it worked. It worked just like that. Not because something was really done wrong on purpose, but something was done wrong, and because the young man who was there had no experience. And I said, "Yeah, Ellen, you're going in for a brain operation, so you're going to take a new brain surgeon who's working on your brain for the first time." and you say, "Oh boy, yeah, ba 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 ba." And so you want someone who's got some experience. You want someone who has experience. But now, Sylvia, who is this someone?
Myself.
Exactly. Did you hear that, Ellen?
Of course.
Yourself. Now, did you have experience? Did
yes.
you have? Oh, you sure did. Did you know all the answers?
Yes.
You sure did. And it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
Rex, sit. Rex, sit. You see, sometimes Rex will sit, but he has to say that he wants to sit where he wants to sit. Rex, sit. Down. Excellent. Excellent boy. And you see, this is important. Always be the master in anything you do, and don't stop just because someone isn't doing exactly what you want them to do at the moment you want them to do it. Be persistent. Say, "Rex, sit, sit, down, good boy. Yes, you're a good boy." And and you see, then he says, "Oh, gee, I like being called a good boy." Now, if we had our young well man, and if we would have gone to him and said, "Now, Corey, you're a fantastic boy. You have had some experience with your dad, and I'm sure that the right answer for you to solve this problem is right there, because you have that ability." And if we would have had the confidence in him that we would like him to have in us, in our work, he would have come through. Because he wasn't stupid, he wasn't doing things out of badness, but he just did not have the experience. And so sometimes we have to encourage him to have that experience. This is how opportunity knocks. Opportunity knocks in a very subtle, very gentle, oftentimes very unopportunity-ish type knock, you know. And temptation, that comes across like, "Hey, this will work. Tell him, go jump in the lake. You don't ever see him again. You want to do this and do that." And man, oh man, the minute you do that, you have taken the opportunity of the blessing that was in your hand and threw it away. Now, this illustration will highlight that very clearly. Ingeborg, were you married?
Yes.
And Ingeborg, oh, that's right, Alessandro. So Ingeborg married Alessandro, and he's a cop, and he's a great, big, wonderful guy, and he's a lover. And so Ingeborg says, well, I don't like the way he's been conducting himself, so I am leaving this show, okay? And so, unfortunately, Ingeborg didn't know me at the time. But if Ingeborg had known me at the time, I'd say, Ingeborg, you have spent years training this man to be a good husband, to be a good lover, and to do these things. Now, don't throw it away just because he has some bad judgments right now. Ingeborg, you start seeing him, the most ideal husband in the world. You start treating him like he is the most wonderful person in the world, and he doesn't need anybody else but you to satisfy his desire for a wife or desire for a relationship in any way. And you trained him. Now, get the best out of the work you've done all these years, and don't throw him out just because he you ceased being, you stopped your training, you know. And so start your training again and start training to realize that he is just super. Just crown him with love, crown him with confidence, crown him with the expectation that he is a one man, a one woman man, you know, and you're a one man woman. And that the two of you make a fabulous couple, you know, just a glorious couple. And this is what you want to do, isn't it? This is what you want to do. So, you see, if you had known me, we could have solved that very beautifully. And, of course, I could have found it, if I had known me, too, at the time that my wife and I were going through what we went through, I could have changed that, too, you know. But, oh, yes, Herb, oh, yes. Well, you see, the shoe fits on all feet. What is it that you're going to do? Opportunity is there. The opportunity is to show yourself as a master and do it. And it takes persistence. And it takes only seeing the truth. Only seeing what you really want to experience. Not seeing the obvious or the things that are bad. So many people, they say, oh, my husband cheated on me or my wife cheated on me. Hey, you've been cheating on each other all your life. You look at other people and you say, oh, if my husband were just like that, my wife were just like that, you know, if, you know, they're such a beautiful couple, look at how, and if we were just like that, well, you're cheating. You should be saying, we are a beautiful couple, we are like that, we are fantastic. You have that opportunity. It's knocking gently at your door, saying, hey, you're home, work at home, you know, take care of your own house, take care of your own life. And then when you take care of your own life, you find nothing else matters, because you live in paradise, and how great it is. You're all fantastic, and I love you, and I say to you again, opportunity knocks seemingly once, temptation bangs on my front door forever. So learn to ignore temptation, and learn to recognize opportunity. I love you. I love you. I love you.